Blog Talk Radio. Law Action Radio. Well, good evening and welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Julie Johnson from clean and refreshed, rain-soaked Southern California. Tonight we are going to be talking about the other universal laws through the eyes of author Ula Jacobs. And the more we know and understand, the easier it is to live in accordance with these laws and therefore increase the ease of our life through our everyday life journey. It's really important to understand all of this. As always, I strive to bring you all the information, knowing that you, the listeners, know your own truth. So take what feels good as you're working to greater realms tonight. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? Your realm is going to expand tonight. By the way, all you lovely Law of Attractioners, I just made up that new word. Let me just wish you all a happy and wonderful 2008. My last two shows were pre-recorded, so I could take a little break, and now I'm back live, so I can now wish you a happy new year. And here's a little numerology for you. Did you realize that in the year 2008 expands out to the number one? And the number one means a year of new beginnings. This means that many of the intentions that we focused on in 2007 will finally materialize in 2008. How great is that? So this is the year for the new business, for that new this may be the year that you find your ideal love, or you begin an incredible new life of health. So get ready. Allow it to come into your life now. Raise your vibrations to match your desire, because this is the year for it to happen. Yep, this is going to be the best year of your life. So happy New Year's. It's great. And by the way, next week we have award-winning author Bronwyn Marmo with us, who will tell us how to rid ourselves of all the unnecessary weight using the science of consciousness, also known as the law of attraction. We can all pick up some great tips with this one. So tune in next week. And we also have another collective consciousness meditation coming up. This time it's for health. That's right. Let's bring your met with your mind through the power of love, powered by the life energy of many who join us. Hey, whether you are in dis-ease or not, this is the best preventative medicine around. Pure, powerful love. For those who are not convinced about the power of the mind and the collective consciousness, join us and find out what we're really up to. It's absolutely fantastic. You're going to love it. It's going to be on Wednesday, January 23rd, so go to my website and sign up today. The website again, if you don't know it by heart, it's www.lawofattractiontools.com. I will send you the link to the meditation so we can tune in at exactly the same time and let the magic happen. And as far as tonight or any other show, as a matter of fact, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to call in tonight. We'll take your calls. Or you can join us in the chat room that's going on right now. I can see people are on there talking away. And so just ask a question, and we'll give it to Ula tonight, and she's going to give you some terrific answers. But right now, let's take a fast break so we can hear from tonight's sponsors, Angelica's Animal Oracle Deck. Let's hear from this right now.
Hey, animal lovers, I have discovered an animal oracle deck by Angelica Del Mar that saved my cat's life. You know, one day my cat became really lethargic, so I pulled the deck, and the first one was the urgency card that said, "Get me to the vet." After 1 hour at the emergency clinic, my cat started turning yellow, signaling urgent treatment was necessary. They gave him an immediate blood transfusion, and my cat survived a deadly poison that he ingested. Since then, I've been using this deck on all my pets with great success and tremendous fun. If you want to communicate with your pets, you must order these incredible cards. Go to www.angelicascards.com. That's A-N-G-E-L-I-C-A-S cards.com. Out with the old and in with the new. Absolutely. Let's get rid of old thought patterns and bring in new creative thoughts that will make 2008 so bright. Visit Law of Attraction Tools today and find the perfect MP3 that will rewire your mind with your chosen New Year's Eve resolution. Lose weight, find a mate, gain health, or create wealth. Heal a broken heart, or gain freedom from depression. It's all there at lawofattractiontools.com. That's www.lawofattractiontools.com.
Okay, we're back, and let's get started, shall we? Ula Jacobs, visionary and author of The Hidden Laws, Ultimate Tools for Divine Co-Creation, has been a researcher in her desire to heal herself from ulcerative colitis. During her search, she discovered six universal laws, which led her on a journey of self-empowerment. She joins us today from Victoria, British Columbia, and I'm delighted that she is here giving us some great insight on these hidden laws. Ula, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Julie. Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Oh, great. Yes. Happy New Year's to you. Let's jump right in, Ula, if you don't mind, and go into this. How did you discover these laws? I know you had ulcerative colitis for many years and that you discovered the mind-body connection, which brought your body back into alignment. Let's talk about that, what exactly happened.
Yes, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, and the medication that was given to me just made me sicker. They were telling me that there was no cure and then that I would probably have to be on this medication forever. And I thought, well, if there's no cure, then why would I be on this medication? It just didn't somehow jibe with me. And I've always sort of been interested in alternatives anyway, so I just basically went down the alternative route to healing. And I tried everything, culminating with Reiki and pranic healing and all the herbs and supplements and all that kind of stuff. And then the turnaround came for me in year 8. This was of a 9-year journey, by the way. In year 8, my husband was seeing that, you know, these things were working for a short time, but the sort of total health was going downhill. And he said, well, why don't we try meditation? So I said, okay, you know, I've tried everything else and there's nothing to lose here. So we started to look into meditation, and that was basically the turnaround for me, because for two reasons. It first of all supplied a new focus, a new direction. So I wasn't constantly focused on illness. I was meditating, and I was also getting more energy with that, which allowed me to go further. To actually start complaining and saying, you know, somebody's got to be able to help me with this. And then once I made that statement, which is free will, and I'll get into that later, my guides were able to step in, because they need to have that confirmation from everyone. They can't just take it upon themselves to step in. So when I voiced, hey, somebody's got to be able to help this, I went to a series of synchronistic events that led me to an iridologist. And the iridologist basically informed me that there just was no colitis. You don't have colitis. And I said, okay, If it's not colitis, tell me what it is. And she said, well, what I see here is the yellow right around in the iris, right around the pupil, which is the part that is designated to the large intestine. And it's very, very yellow, indicating Candida albicans. So I said, okay, if it's Candida albicans, how do I get rid of it? And she put me on to a naturopath working out of Vancouver who had a book out at the time called Eating Alive. It's Dr. John Mattson. Mm-hmm. And I read his book, and in his book was a testimonial from someone who had exactly the same symptoms that I had. And I just said, well, you know, she got cured in 3 weeks. I'll get cured in 3 weeks. And sure enough, I went to see him, and within the three-week period of being put on mycocidin, which eradicated the yeast, I was great. And then in the meantime, I had also made the choice to get into a better eating program, getting rid of things that feed yeast on a normal basis, which is your white flour, white sugar, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So even though I had been eating healthily for a long time anyways, because I made a lot of things from scratch, I did get rid of things that I felt were just not supportive health-wise.
Excellent. So you discovered that by meditating and asking for help, you were more connected so that you could receive the help and get the direction to go and heal yourself. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, because the law of free will works in that way, that first of all, we get to make all of the choices in our life, that it gives us that, but it also gives us, and this is part of the laws being here on Earth and also everywhere in the universe, it also applies to our guides. So if we want any kind of help from our spirit guides, we have to ask, because they are not allowed to tread on the free will, our own free will, unless we ask for help. So that portion of it, and I didn't know that at the time until I got into all this research with the universal laws, but that was what was at work at that point. When I made the statement, somebody's got to be able to help me, and all these things fell into place. And it wasn't easy. You know, it was a succession of things that came together to get me to the naturopath in Vancouver.
Mm. So did you meet your guides? I mean, how did you discover that?
Not at that time, no. I'm looking back. I see where I was led.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
But I have since.
You have since. Okay, yeah. I want to get into that a little later. That's always fascinating because I'm really into the meditation, but I haven't. I mean, I just connect with my inner source, so I really haven't been fortunate to contact or be contacted by any guides. So I wanted to get into that a little bit. Let's see. Well, what was the next step after you found that? You did. I mean, what made you look into all of the universal laws?
Well, that is an interesting question, too. And in my previous interview, I was asked how I got to the laws. And I told them that I was given the laws, but I should probably explain that a little bit further. What happened is I had notes of when I was ill and what I was going through, and, you know, I kept copious notes of all this stuff. And then when I got into the esoteric part of things and the metaphysical part of things, I started keeping notes, thinking that somewhere down the line I would probably do a book about this, because people had always said, well, you got over this illness, you should really be telling people about this. But I never felt that there was enough information to put together in a whole book. So I thought, okay, when all this esoteric stuff started coming along, I thought, well, I'll keep notes, and then down the line, I'll put it in a book. So I got to the stage where I had all this information, and I thought, okay, it's time to put it together. And I couldn't see where it would go, what's it going to do. So I asked my guides the night before I fell asleep. I said, okay, I'm at a standstill here. I don't know where this is going. So as often happens with me, in the middle of the night, 3, 4 in the morning, somewhere in there, I usually get my visions. I'm standing on the other side of the veil, and there's a guide standing beside me, and there's a sort of, it's in like a small theater setting. And there's a couple of guides up on this little stage, and they're doing a singing of some sort. And when my consciousness was brought into this, there was already a dialogue going on, but when I entered it and remembered the part I remembered, the guy next to me says, "Do you get it yet?" And I'm standing there going, "Get what?" You know, because I don't remember what went on before then, like I wasn't consciously aware of the conversation before then. And they said, "Hidden laws." And then at that very moment, they showed me the cover of the book as being hidden laws. So I went back to my notes and looked to see what was there and just started to group things into laws. I could see it was all there. It just wasn't, there was no cohesion to my notes. And then when they gave me the title, I thought, oh, yeah, the light bulb came on. I thought, oh, yeah, I see where they're going with this, because a lot of the information was there in order to have me bring it into cohesion along the lines of the laws. And except for that was five laws. And then the last law, the law of transition, came much later. I had a whole section that I had devoted to about death, you know, the fact that we really don't die and it was just the body and all of that stuff. And then I had already gone to print with a book, and then one night I was given the information that about death should be the law of transition, and then I was given further information as well that needed to go along with what I already had, and I had to do a whole lot of rewrite while the book was already with the publisher. So it's basically all of what came along out of that.
Well, let's talk about the laws. The first law you have down here is the law of vibration, which is the law of one. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
That's actually my favorite law, and it didn't turn out to be that way at the beginning. But when I began to do the research, I sort of had an idea about which laws were really important, but I soon realized that they all govern life. They all govern daily life. So I began a section about the laws, with the law of one vibration, thinking that it would be the easiest and done quickly. Imagine my surprise when I began to realize just how much information there was to uncover. I thought this was just about one vibration flowing through all of us. We all come from the same source, the same spark of life. Easy peasy, no problem. I'll have this one wrapped up in no time. But then I started to think about that, and there was a problem. There wasn't enough information, first of all, to do this law justice, and secondly, to have a whole chapter on the law of vibration. And I'm not the kind of person that's happy about using fillers and superfluous information, so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board on this one and just really look at what's going on here. So it led me to think about this energy, that one vibration, and what it's doing, and it led me to research what other people were doing with it. And that's when I really began to understand what's happening here, and it basically blew me away. It was people like Masaru Emoto, who was working with this energy with water.
Right.
And Cleve Baxter was doing his stuff with plants, also working with his energy. And not only, like, he started out wanting to see if he could get a reaction with plants hooked up to special equipment by touching their leaves or burning their leaves to see if they'd react, and found that even just the thought of that started the equipment going. The plants were actually having a dialogue with his thought. So that just, you know, it was amazing, amazing stuff. And then Rupert Sheldrake was doing things with, I think his book is called Dogs That Know When Their Owners Come Home. And he did various experiments and changing times and changing circumstances to see if the dogs would be aware of when the owner made the decision to come back home. And in each case, it worked that way. They always ran to the window when, you know, coinciding with the time that the owner decided that he was heading home. So that was really interesting.
What was your conclusion about the law of vibration? I know that you can't, you know, there's a lot to it, but what is the basics behind it?
That's exactly what it is. There is a basics behind it. Each of these people I just mentioned was discovering an intelligence working within their findings. This one vibration is not only an energy, but it's an intelligence as well. we all are recipients of this wonderful energy, and as such, we're all the same, you know, and all information is flowing on this. It's just really, really amazing.
It's all really, really amazing, and I can understand, but, you know, what happens when people don't, when they fight with each other? They're not in sync with the vibrations. Can you explain that a little bit? If there's a lot of differences and they're not matching vibrations?
Oh, yeah, the law of attraction part of that. Yeah, there's a flow of energy happening when you're fighting with somebody. And the best way to counteract that is to send, like, say there's two people fighting. If one of those people starts to send out the love vibration, there's a certain, in quantum physics, there is an expression called interference, and it mm-hmm. says that two opposite things will cancel each other out. So if you have a flow of anger and then direct love at it, they cancel each other out. And if you are in an argument with someone, the very best way is not to throw the same thing back at them, but to throw love in their direction and then watch what happens. It's quite interesting.
Mm, very interesting.
Yeah.
Terrific. So we're all connected, and we all have this vibration, and there's different right?
I missed you there. Did you say there's different frequencies?
Yeah, different frequencies of vibrations.
There is, yes.
Okay, and is there any way that we can apply this, or we just accept it? And does each emotion have a different frequency?
Yes, I think it does. And no, we don't just accept it. We can, this knowledge and understanding of this flow of energy actually allows us to be proactive rather than passive, because once we understand the flow and how it works, we can use it in our favor. And I have an example of that. There was somebody, like a business I go to once or twice a week and sometimes more, I was getting served by someone that was always very curt and very, I guess you'd say, abrupt and not very nice. And each time I went in there, I sort of thought, oh, no, I really don't want to have this person serve me. And, of course, that draw immediately would make it that I was always served by this person. So when I discovered the flow of this energy, I thought, okay, let's do an experiment here. So I started sending her really good upbeat vibrations. And it was noticeable, you know. We would, like, every time I went in there, before I even got to the wicket, I would start to send her really good vibrations. And then a lot of times now I don't get served by her anymore because I'm not dreading the experience, for one thing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And even when I'm not being served by her, she will acknowledge me and she will say hello and, you know, we'll have some sort of an interchange of a couple of sentences and, you know, how are you kind of thing. And that never, ever happened before, so the experiment really worked well.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, for some reason I think this is really important for everybody to hear tonight. I mean, I've got a situation here in my own life that I've got to start sending love to it because it's getting out of hand. But you know what? It's good to be reminded of that. So I'm so glad we're talking about it. But let's get down to the next law, the law of cause and effect.
Yeah, I call that the boomerang law, and that's basically because it's a reciprocal action law. It's propelled, the law of cause and effect is propelled forward, actually, by the law of creation, which works along really well with all the other laws, when we initiate an act. So what happens is we must be aware of the actions that are unleashed by the law of creation as the law of cause and effect returns a reciprocal action back to us. So that's why I call it the boomerang law. It's when our deeds are being done, whatever it is that we're putting out there eventually finds its way back.
Right.
So
okay.
That's why it's called reciprocal action. And it differs from, people have asked me, how does that differ from attraction? You know, it sounds like the law of attraction. But no, the law of attraction is more the the brain, the mind, the thinking part of it, whereby the cause and effect is the deeds, like the actions that we do.
The actual action. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Huh, interesting.
Yeah. And the law of creation goes along with both of those and some of the others as well, in that it is, I call that the spark plug law, and it's actually providing the energy movement forward. In other words, you're taking something, you're using your free will to make a choice. Like, of all the thoughts we have in the day, the ones we pick to take further than a thought to bring into action, the moment we have used that free will choice to do so, we then take a step towards that action, and the law of creation sparks that movement and energy forward in order to produce the desired result of it being like the thing that you want to attract. So without the knowledge of that, a lot of people are wondering, why am I not attracting what I'm putting out there? Well, you need to take a step towards it in order to move the energy forward. It's all about energy and vibration, so it has to move.
Hmm. Okay, so first comes the thought, which is law of attraction.
It's free will. Well, it's
free will.
Yeah, the decision of the thought, yeah, to bring it forward is free will.
Okay, I'm just trying to map this out here. The law of free will is the, and then what happens? And then it's the law of creation?
Yeah, the law of creation, that means that we, and some people call it the law of life too, it is what we create. We're all creators of every situation that we decide to get into. So the law of creation brings that movement of energy forward to take it from a thought into an action.
Okay.
And that's why it's the spark plug law, because it's providing the spark that needs to happen in order to make it go.
And then it's the law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
or the law of vibration. I mean, like there's Abraham who says that we have to match our vibration with the desire for it to come to us. So where does the law of vibration come into it?
Well, the law of attraction is, there's certain steps that you need to do in order to attract, and there seems to be a lot of confusion about this. But where we spend most of our thinking time, as you know, because you're the Law of Attraction Radio, you probably know more about this than I do, but where we spend most of our thinking time and how we view ourselves will be the determinator in part of who our partners are, who our friends are, and what comes our way. We need to understand that a vibration is created, a resonance that seeks itself in compatibility. Compatible energies will mesh and blend well together. When they're opposites, they will not. But the main stages of manifestations, which you probably already aware of, are to state the objective clearly in a positive way so that we are creating exactly what we want, not what we don't want. Take any step toward the desire outcome, which is the law of creation providing that spark. And that is like if you're looking for a job, you want to go put your resumes out or go and decide where you want to work and keep showing up and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's basically using the law of creation to take it forward from your desire to something of an action. And then the third part of that is walk away from the outcome. Do not, under any circumstances, decide how this will manifest, because the universe may present it in a totally different way. And I've had this happen many times. Often I'll decide, oh, yeah, it's going to go this way, but no, it doesn't, because the universe has its own way of working things out. So if we walk away from how it's going to manifest, it will manifest in the way that it's been decided already. I remember a while back, people were writing checks to themselves with lots of zeros after them and putting them on the fridge or the mirror and to draw abundance.
Uh-huh.
And then they would make statements like, I hope this works because I have no money, or I hope this works, I've never had abundance in my life. I hope this works, I'm down to my last nickel. And the moment that phrase follows the draw of the abundance, it's cut off. Mm-hmm. And it's cut off for two reasons. The first being the interference, which is the quantum physics of, you know, you've got a positive that you're wanting to draw, and then you suddenly bring a negative into it, and they cancel each other out, so you're back to square zero. The other part of that is the negativity. And any time we want to manifest anything, when we bring negativity into it, it slams the door to spirit, and you just cannot manifest anything from a point of negativity.
So, or else you can manifest more negativity to you.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. That's what you get. You're telling the universe what you're handing them a platter, and on that platter is a huge pile of negativity, and what's it going to draw back? This is where the vibrational energy that you were asking about works, because it's finding itself. And the next part of that manifestation part is that you need to become, like the Abraham you mentioned, stated, that you have to become what it is you want to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way we can draw abundance from a poverty consciousness. It's just these two vibrations just do not blend. And we
so,
cannot, sorry.
Well, so what you're suggesting then is that you, at that point you bring in the feeling?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't draw health while we're totally focused on illness. You know, you have to, the focus has to be turned around to the positiveness of, like, if you're ill and you're not feeling well, if you can focus on health and feeling better, and, you know, that also makes the whole body feel better. And not only that, it's the mind-body connection where the body takes direction from the mind. So, you know, you're not only getting more positive in your thinking, but you're telling the body what you want it to happen.
Okay, now, if we go back to the law of vibration, could that vibration be either lowered or higher or raised by emotions?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we can raise the vibration to be of high creative force if we have strong, intense, wonderful feelings of well-being.
Yes, absolutely. And with good deeds too. It can, you know, anytime you do a really good deed, your vibration level just goes right up. You know, even if it's simple as holding the door for somebody or letting somebody in traffic that's stuck and can't get into the flow or something, you know, you do something nice like that and you feel good about it. And the moment you feel good about it, the entire vibration is elevated.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Hmm. Well, that just all makes sense to me. I haven't got any questions here, but let's go on to this law of transition.
Okay.
About death, because you came up with all of these through your guides. You were given all of this information.
Mm-hmm.
And where does the law of transition? It just means that everybody, no matter what, there's nothing you can do. We're all going to die.
Well, the body, yes, we don't.
Yeah,
the body does.
But right.
Yes, I had a whole chapter, as I said previously, on the subject of death and how I feel we don't die and how we go on to come back many other times to learn various things. And when I was told to put that in the law of transition, I was sort of given an insight into the fact that no one dies alone, because there are already guides. When somebody's ill, there's already guides coming in, you know, to be with that person and guide that person on another level that the consciousness may not be aware of, but it's happening and it's going on. And I've seen this because I've been around people that have passed, and they are definitely in touch with the other side long before they go over to that side. And that part is really, really comforting, because it's nice to know that there is that support, and it will, the soul will be so supported, and then when it gets to the other side, it will be supported again with people that have been close to that person in other lives, and they're all there as a welcoming committee. And then there's certain levels that we go through. First of all, with a light shower, to get rid of all of the negativity and all of the stuff that we cannot bring into that realm, because it cannot exist in that realm, the realm being totally made up of love. So we
did you
light.
Say did you say light, L-I-G-H-T?
L-I-G-H-T, yeah, we get a light shower, and it basically
okay.
runs off all the negativity and anything else that we don't need to have on that side because it can't live there. And then apparently there's a debriefing that goes on, and we get to have what a lot of people refer to as a life review and decide, you know, what have we learned here? What more is there to be learned? Do we want to come back? Do we need to come back? All that kind of stuff goes on then. But everything, like here on Earth, everything is channeled upon universal law, and everything there is as well free will. So whatever choices we do make, whether to come back or not, or as what or how, it's all governed by free will.
Okay, so when we die, we'll still continue on with the relationships that perhaps we had here? I mean, are we just simply living a life there on the other side of the veil?
Yes, we are living a life on the other side of the veil, as I understand it, in groups, in soul groups, and that, again, goes on a vibratory rate. The advanced souls are with other advanced souls. The medium souls are with their group, and then the people that are new souls that are just coming on will be with people that they're comfortable with, because, again, it's all compatibility.
Hmm. So, interesting.
Yeah, and I have had contact on the other side. So one instance was when a coworker of mine died of an embolism, and she was, gosh, I guess she was probably in her early 50s, and it was very sudden. She wasn't very sick or anything. It just, bang, there it was and gone. And one night she came to me, and I found myself walking into a classroom setting on the other side. And she was sitting there and watched me walk in. And I said, Janet, what are you doing here? Because I didn't know where I was at that time. Mm-hmm. And it should have been the other way around. She should have said, what are you doing here? Because I hadn't gone over yet. But anyway, the thing she said to me was, isn't it interesting when you find out that you're not gone and that you get a chance to go around again? And at that point, I had been questioning about reincarnation, and of course that was my answer, because every time I question something, they come up with answers for me to understand. And then she began to say something else, and then there was somebody behind me that stopped her from saying whatever else she was going to say to me. And I kind of came to the conclusion that whatever that was, I just was not at that time ready to hear it.
Mm.
So it was cut off.
Really?
But she was basically telling me that there was, she felt that, you know, it was really neat that you get to go around again.
You get to go around again. So it, I mean, I had a husband that died, so eventually I will see him again and be with him again. As with our parents or whatever in that group, unless we go higher or beyond that group. Is that
yes,
right?
That's correct, yes. A lot of times the loved ones we were very close to in any given life will be there to greet us, but that is just sort of an initial greeting. And then when all is said and done and we've gone through all the stages we need to go through from there, from this last incarnation, we then reside within our soul groups.
Mm, very interesting. So we, I mean, there was a movie once with Robin Williams. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like when he died and his wife died and his kids die, and he's on this journey and trying to find him when he was dead. Is there any truth to that? I mean, like, would colors be brighter there? We're not in a physical form, but what is it like? Is it brilliant?
Yes, I experienced that as well. When an uncle of mine passed over, actually before he passed over, he was never into any of this. And I, again, woke up in the early morning hours and found myself on the other side of the veil with him. And there was a huge welcoming committee there for him. And he didn't know what was going on because he, you know, what's going on here? But they all made him feel really welcome. And when I was standing there with him, I noticed we were standing in blue. And that color blue was the most vibrant and almost alive blue that I've ever seen. And I've never seen anything like that down here. So that sort of tipped me off that I, at that time, was somewhere else. And later on, as, you know, I became more proficient with the subject and everything, I realized what had gone on there, too. But at the time, I didn't know exactly what it was. So, but, yeah, the color was awesome.
And so is it like a dream sequence over there? Is it like lucid dreaming, or I mean, do we live in houses, or what's going on with that? It's something that we don't even need because we, of course, we're not physical. But I'm just trying to picture what it would be like.
As I understand it, I think it's a learning process as it is here, which is why I saw that lady in the classroom. And I've also asked my dad one time, what are you doing? And he said, I'm learning, still learning. I'm in school, he said. So it leads me to believe that the learning never stops. We just continue on with the learning, the soul learning process. And that's why we come down here anyway, is to work through things in order to provide for the soul growth that's needed.
Huh. On the chat room, we have Millie that said, my dad went over to the other side. In dreams, he's still with us and enjoying family. I thought that's really fun. And then, I don't know, Canadian, I'm not getting the name right here because it's, you know, email, but she's saying that the movie was What Dreams May Come.
Yes, I saw that.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a really thought it touched my life. So when we're over there, we can still have contact with people over here, either through dreams or, I mean, why do we want that? Why would somebody want to come over and help?
What, from the other side or from here?
Yeah,
from the
other side. Uh-huh, come over.
I think mostly for guidance. And also, well, actually, I should tell you about an instance that happened with my father. I tried to get a hold of him after he passed, and he, although he was very evolved as a soul, and he knew there was a life after death because he had had a near-death experience as a young boy, so he knew there was more to life than just three-dimensional. He went over to the other side, and I tried to contact him. And he didn't want any part of it because he didn't like the channeling process for some reason.
Mm.
So while I was trying to, he said, no, I don't really want to speak. Like, this was just after he went over. So I guess it was new to him over there as well anyway. But I tried to persist. And with this persistence, he was surrounded by guides. And they all just put up their hands and put a barrier between me and him, saying basically that, you're treading on free will here. He's decided what he doesn't want to do, and you're not going to do this. So they were upholding his free will, and that actually came to me at a time when I was questioning whether free will was just here or was it everywhere. And I should have known this, but I mean, we all learn along the way, right?
Yeah.
So that was my answer, was he was on the other side, I was on this side, and they were protecting his free will over there.
Wow.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Now,
Now
let me just toss you out this question, because my mom has had Alzheimer's for like 10 years. So she, of course, didn't recognize us for many, many years. She was just totally blank. So what happens then to people who do not have are not lucid in life? What happens when they die?
I am not totally certain about that, but I would suspect that the consciousness is active on the other side rather than in this life. Like there's something going on, but it's not here consciously with anybody here. I would say that she would probably be in touch with the guides on the other side and anyone working with her.
Interesting. I know she's been in my dreams since she's passed, so I know that she's communicating some really funny stuff too, but so I know that she's probably fine now. But
yeah, anything that we have, any dispositions of any kind here, all get lost over there, because first of all, I think that's part of the light shower, where you get rid of all of that. but none of the illnesses or mental illnesses or any whatever is going on, it cannot live in that vibration. So it we're only in divine order on that side.
That's all that can
be. Yeah, it's all it can be. So actually this is interesting because I needed to hear this from my husband the other day. He had a dream about this, and he was in a situation where somebody had his statistics on a slate, and they came along and they wiped the slate clean. And he said, "Why are you doing that?" And the person said, "You're perfect now." And I think that I needed to hear that from him because this goes with what you're saying here. It needs to be perfect on the other side. We drop all of what we think isn't, and it gets left behind. It doesn't get to live on the other side.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. Well, Millie has a question here. She wants to know, do we see our beloved as they are, or are we creating this image of them? Wow, what a great question.
That is an awesome question. I believe, she means on the other side, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I believe that on the other side, we are energy, light energy, various light energies, different colors and things. But I think we also have the ability to manifest anything we want. Like if we want to bring somebody there, like if you want Elvis Presley standing in front of you, you know, snap of the finger and there's Elvis Presley kind of thing. This is how I understand it, is that we can manifest images that we project.
Mm. Oh, okay. So maybe we need to keep them in our mind as we have known them on Earth or on this plane in order to recognize them, because we wouldn't necessarily be able to recognize them in their white, brilliant.
Well, actually, when you go over, they will present themselves in the form that you knew them in order to comfort you when you step over. You know, this is part of the process. And then after that, when you are there and you're part of that realm again, it just becomes normal. I think, you know, we all become, like, you would recognize them because, that, you know, you would recognize the energy. I should actually tell you a little story about that, when I was questioning about the energies and, you know, this, especially this one vibration, which just sort of really got to me, I questioned further and I received a few more puzzle pieces, and one of them was from my guide, Darvon, and she's been with me from the beginning, the very first incarnation, and she came to me as pure white light. And she said, "I come to you in this way so that you will not limit me. I'm also able to come to you as the smallest creature. This is a capability I have." And this got me thinking. Now, I have this little tiny ant. You know, I don't know if you have seen the ants that are very, very small. I mean, they're minute. I have this little tiny ant running around my countertop every now and then, and I'm always wondering, is that Darvon showing me how she can show up? Because at this time of year, you know, ants are not out, right? But this little guy is running around all over the place every once in a while. But anyway, I'm digressing here. It got me thinking more about this one vibration, and I've come to the conclusion that when we are really ascended beings, like when we get to the point where we're one with bliss, which a lot of the yogis and people like that get to, I think we can all be part of this essence, and I think that's what this essence is the intelligence in this unified field that a lot of people call it, is the essence of all these evolved beings, and all their knowledge and everything runs with that flow.
Wow. Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's very, very good. And I love about that being, they have the capability of being so large or worse for so small.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The next time you kill an ant, reveal
it
must be your mother.
I run. This guy's got the run of my house here because there's no way I'm going to squash it. But, I mean, that goes along with the Buddhist law, right? First, do no harm. So
yeah.
That's always been in my mind anyway, and I've always felt bad when I've had to do something like that. But now, like even with spiders and things, we just put them in a cloth and send them outside. So.
Well, I don't know. I got to do something about those ants. Not in my house. I'm going to send them a message. Okay, go away. Come back a little larger.
You could actually. A friend of mine had that problem in her previous house, and she asked them to leave. You know, she sort of tried to get into the vibration of this ant colony and say, you know, would you please leave my house? And
oh,
so that's a possibility too. But
I'm definitely going to try that.
Yeah.
Our time is running short here, but I need to get to Dave's question because I thought this is so good. It doesn't have anything to do with the transition or not. Let me find it here. In all of my notes for tonight. There it is. He writes, considering the law responds to thoughts, positive and negative, what happens to the negative impulse even when it is replaced by a positive thought or action? Let me give you a personal example. I try to concentrate on the money I have and will possess in the future. Contrary to that, we have accumulated a high volume of medical bills. When my thought pattern shifts to the bills, I understand the law responds to that even with more bills. But what effect does it have by shifting to the money I have to pay them? Do those two thoughts under the law? Does the law respond to each of those thoughts? And sometimes I can't help but think of the bills, but ultimately change the thought to having money. Is that thought too late because the law has already responded? Wow.
Yeah, that's quite a question. Wow. The way I see it is that if you're into the flow, like it's a flow, if you're into the flow of abundance and then you focus on the bills, that abundance flow is cut off. So in order to keep drawing abundance, I think we need to become it and we need to start making it real in our life. And if there is a shortage of money, then I would suggest that we go to a different abundance in order just to have that abundance feeling of ourselves. Like count your blessings, you know, what's good in your life, count all your blessings, number them up, you know, I have this, I have this, I have this, I feel really abundant, I feel really grateful, I feel really glad that all of this is in my life, and that starts to bring the abundance vibration to the person. You don't want to focus on the bills. I know they have to be paid, but if you're trying to draw abundance, you need to be abundant. And this, like I say, this is not necessarily just about money. You can be abundant with a lot of friends. You can be abundant with very nice family members, anything like that, with your thought patterns, you know, how many times a day are you grateful and glad? That's part of being abundant with a good flow. So you're just mainly trying to enter a flow and keep that energy flow going.
Keep the energy flowing, yeah.
In a positive way, yeah. Just keep that, you know, you're entering a flow. And I've got a really good example of this with my friends that just moved and they're moving into a condo. And everything, they stepped into the flow and decided that everything was going to go well, and it bang, 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 everything's just falling into place for them, one thing after another. And that's because they recognize the flow, and they're staying in the flow, and they just work that all the time in everything in their lives. It's really, really great to see.
Wow, wonderful. Now, again, when you're raising your vibration or starting to create and not focus in on the negative stuff that's happening in your life, it isn't the point just to do whatever you can to feel better so that you can get to that better place of feeling to create a different reality.
Yes. The focus. The focus is all important.
Okay. Good. Wonderful. I think that's great. And people are saying on there, oh, she's really good. I'm looking at the chat.
Oh, that's
they're
nice.
Appreciating what you're saying.
Well, I appreciate
here.
Those kind words. That's awesome.
And I just also want to remind people that they can go to your website to buy your book, which is www.hiddenlaws.com. Go there, and I've visited her website a number of times. It's really nice. Has some really, really good information on there. So go up there and grab her book and find out all kinds of information. And that leads me to ask you something else. Since you have your guides, are you into the psychicness? Do you do readings for people, or is...
Not at this point. I don't, but I get guidance, and usually, like I said, in the early morning hours. I think that will come. I just need to get to that point myself, and I've asked for that to happen. But at the moment, I'm just getting guidance for myself. As I question things, they supply me with the answers, and it never fails. I just never need to question the information because it's always there, and it always resonates with me. Like, it's positive, and it's awesome. I'm just
wow.
in awe of this flow of this energy. It's like the law of one vibration just opened up to me. It's like, I don't know if you've seen time-lapse photography of a flower opening up.
Oh, yeah.
But that's how that law presented itself to me until I got to the point where, like, one petal after another opened up until the full magnificence of the flower was exposed. And it's just an amazing energy where everything, all potential, all past knowledge, all future knowledge, all potential exists in this flow. And if we can step into that flow, we never need to look back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's a very loving flow. I mean, you
yeah.
know, for me, when I feel connected, it's all about feeling this awesome, incredible love. That's how I know that I'm connected to everybody else.
Yes.
It's really mind-boggling. So,
it's amazing.
It's phenomenal. It's such a great place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very good. Well, thank you so much. This is really great information tonight, and I'm sure everybody's... gained a lot of information. Whoops, do we have another question here? Oh, nope, it doesn't look like it.
No, okay.
So,
well, thank you for having me on, Julie. I really appreciate it. And, it's a lot of information. There's a lot of good stuff here. And if we can make those laws work for us, we're proactive instead of passive. We can become creators of our circumstances instead of victims of our circumstances. And the knowledge of these laws allows us to do that.
Wow, good information. And remember, it's www.hiddenlaws.com. Go there and buy her book. You won't regret it. It's very, very good. Well, thank you, Ula, for coming on tonight. I would love to have you back on again.
Sure, anytime. I've got lots more stories and lots more information to share.
Oh, great. And are you going to be coming out with another book soon?
Actually, I'm in the process of writing another book, but I've only just gotten into it because I've been doing articles for Sedona Journal and for online magazines, so I've been really, really busy with that. But I plan to very shortly get down to producing more information on that new book, and it's going to be to do with how we create illusions in our lives.
Ooh.
Every day.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's amazing. And yeah, a lot of information to be shared.
Yeah, I need to get that book. I'm real interested. Okay, well, thank you so much. And to all of my wonderful listeners out there, stay tuned for next week's show where we're going to learn how to get rid of those extra pounds. Thanks again, Eula. I'll talk to you, everyone, next week.
Thanks, Julie.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.